Father in heaven, we come into thy presence, Father, in this afternoon hour, grateful and thankful, Lord, for this opportunity. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that we would redeem this time that thou hast given unto us, that as we would have thy word before us and as we would read from its pages, Father, that it might move our hearts and our minds and our soul, Lord, to love thee more and to give of ourselves unto thee, Lord, that we might be blessed in our lives and that, Lord, we can be whom thou wouldst have us to be. So work thou in our hearts, Father, as we would be assembled here together, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to the book of Matthew and read from chapter number 22, beginning with verse number 15. Matthew 22, 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. The same day came unto him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, If a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David therefore call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. This morning we were reminded anew of the importance of prayer and the power of prayer and how vital it is for our Christian life that we would have that communication with our Father, praying unto him and we were reminded that it's very important that we are communicating with the Father. If we're not praying, we're not communicating with the Father. And so even now, as we've had multiple prayers in this day together as a body of believers petitioning our Father, it's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to hear the expressions of thoughts of our brothers, and as they would bring forth thoughts to our Father, as they would lead us to the Lord in prayer. And it's such a blessing as we petition Him, and we know that He hears us. We know that this God who's eternal, who dwells in the heavens, He's listening to us. He's listening to us. And He knows what we need of, but He wants to see, do we have faith in Him? Are we relying on Him? Are we looking to Him for our sustenance and for our everything? And so it's a blessing that we have as we pray together, and it's a great privilege. It used to be that the people of Israel would have to go through the priest to have their prayers brought before God. But we have this privilege that we can come and kneel before our Father and know that He hears us, and that when our words fail us, that the Spirit will take over and bring forth a message to our Father that needs to be heard. And so I just wanted to share that thought, that it's such a blessing that we have, that we can pray directly to our Father and that He hears us. This afternoon we have a portion of the scripture that speaks of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, and how it was that their dialogue with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ was. The Bible says that Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. That would be the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, and the scribes, the Levites, and all those people that were here at this time, those of the elite, and also all the Jews of that time throughout Judea, Galilee, and wherever the Jews were, that Jesus Christ came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But the Bible continues and says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So it was that the Jews rejected Him. The Jews rejected the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Messiah that was sent to them, the Christ, the Anointed One. He was sent to the Jews. The Jews rejected Him. But the Bible says that those that believed in Him were given that power to become the sons of God. And that's who it is for us. That's who we are. That we have come to believe in Jesus Christ through the revelation of the scriptures before us, and through nothing else but through the scriptures themselves, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life here in the flesh, though He was severely tempted, died upon a cross, rose again, and ascended to be with the Father. We believe these things. And because we believe these things, and a life-changing belief, then we become the sons and the daughters of God. We become part of His family. And those that rejected Him don't, even though they were those that Christ came specifically for. So if we look in the previous chapter, Jesus is telling these Jews that were rejecting Him, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, and this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Christ is telling them, you rejected the cornerstone. You rejected Me. And because you rejected Me, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And that's us. We have been given the kingdom of God. It's been given to us as we have professed Christ to be Lord and Savior of this world and of our souls personally. And so the Jews here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they disputed with Jesus. They were not His. They were not a part of the kingdom of God. Though they had the lineage, though they knew the law, though they studied the scriptures, though they knew of what Moses said and what Abraham did, and though they knew all these things in the old Bible, they were not His. They were not Christ's. And so you could see it here as we had this reading, that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they conflicted. They were against the Lord. And so it says here that then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. If they were children of God, they wouldn't look to entangle the Messiah in his talk. They were laying a snare for Jesus Christ. That was their intent. They were laying a snare. We're going to catch him. That's not the way of a child of God. That's not the way of the child of God at all. To see how we might entangle, well, in this case it was the Lord or others even in their talk. And so we could see clearly through even just this, as well as throughout the Gospels, of who the Pharisees were in their heart. And so let's remember the scripture that Jesus Christ said, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus Christ said, and we believe his word to be true. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected the cornerstone. They rejected Jesus Christ. And so the kingdom of God was taken away from them and given to a nation that was bearing fruit. And that would be us, that we would bear fruit to his name. And so they come here and they're looking to entangle him in his talk. They're looking to lay a snare to him. They want him to be trapped. This was their intent. This is how they came to the Lord. Rather than how it should be, that we come to the Lord with a softened heart, that we are willing and ready to receive whatever he would have for us. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians. The Herodians were a people that were a Jews. They were Jews, but they supported the King Herod's government. They were in support of King Herod's government, but they were Jews. And so the Pharisees and the Herodians, they went together to Jesus Christ, and they addressed him, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. It doesn't take a very astute person to recognize it. That's simply flattery. It wasn't something that they came to the Lord with a sincere heart and recognizing that he was teaching the way of God in truth and that he was true. And they addressed him as master. And as we read further, the Sadducees, when they came to him, they addressed him as master. And then the Pharisees, when they came back to him again this other time, they also addressed him as master. But if they're not the children of God, then they have another master. And so they ask the Lord, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Consider that, what this Bible is saying here about the Pharisees as they're coming to him and coming with this desire to entangle him in his talk. He said he perceived their wickedness. Their wickedness. That's a very strong word of evil toward them. This was what was in their heart. They didn't know Christ. They weren't part of the family of God. They didn't know him. And so what was in their heart was wickedness as they sought to lay a snare, a trap for our Lord. And the Lord called them out on this. And he knew that they were tempting him and says, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Addressing them as those who portrayed themselves to be as one thing, but inwardly they were not. They were not what they were portraying themselves to be. And so perhaps that's a lesson for us from this scripture as well, that we who have been called into the family of God and believe in Jesus Christ, that we should be true through and through, and that there should be a distinct difference between a child of God and one who is not. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians, the scribes, they all portrayed themselves as one image, but in their hearts they were not. But for us, in our hearts, we need to be true to the Lord. We need to have his Spirit operating in us. And there, so there needs to be a marked difference between us and the way the world acts, the way the world behaves, of who they are inside. And so he tells them, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then he saith unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and render unto God the things which are God's." Let Caesar have his things. Let Caesar have his ways and get his delights in those things, in those petty things that come and they go. But give unto God your hearts. Give unto God your hearts, that he would mold you and make you and to make you as one of his, and into his image and into his character. You know, we don't have to study history very long to know that there are good governments and there are bad governments. And it doesn't take very long also to understand that governments come and they go. That's not where our trust should be. That's not where our focus should be. Our focus is to be a part of that kingdom of God, to be one of his, and to bear fruit unto him, to a part of a kingdom where the king is never up for election, but he is from everlasting to everlasting, and his dominion changes not. And it's a full dominion. It's a rich dominion. And we are blessed very much as part of being of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus Christ tells these Pharisees here, give Caesar what's his. Let him have those coins. But give God your hearts. It says, and when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. And so it was in these interactions that Jesus is having here with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, is that they came to snare him, lay a snare before him, and they left marveling. They left astonished. This is what our Lord can do. This is the God that we serve. This is he of whose kingdom we are a part of. And so the Pharisees go their way. And then it says, but that same day, the Sadducees come, and now they have some questions to Jesus. And they didn't believe that there was a resurrection. And so they put forth a scenario revealing what or referencing back to what Moses commanded. And they put this scenario together about seven brothers having one wife. And so they say, so in this resurrection thing, this thing that you refer to as resurrection, it can't be possible, but because this situation wouldn't play out well. They say, whose wife would she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus responds to them and says, ye do err. You're wrong. You're wrong. And he says, the reason you're wrong is because you don't know the scriptures. How could it be that the Sadducees wouldn't know the scriptures? They studied the scriptures from their youth on up and spent much time in the law of Moses and understanding what it was, what was written there in the Old Testament. How could they not understand it? You know, it could be the same for us, that we were raised in church, we went through Sunday school, but if our attitude toward the scripture isn't one of awe toward our Lord and faith that this is truly the word of God, then we could miss it just as the Sadducees missed it. It's very possible that we can think of some of these things as not true or not possible. The Sadducees missed it. We're able to miss it too. So he says to them, you're erring. You don't know the scripture, and neither do you know the power of God. You're not familiar with the power of God. Even though they certainly knew of the stories, all of that happened as the children of Israel left Egypt and the Red Sea parted, and how Joshua fought his battles and the sun was kept in place for a time. They knew the power of God. They read of the power of God, but they didn't believe it. They weren't with awe toward what had happened, what the things that God had done in truth. And so he tells them, you're in error. You don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. And so he gives them some information, some details about what the resurrection is like. He says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." And so we come to know this little bit of information about what the resurrection is like as well. So we know that marriage is for this life. But in heaven above, that's marriage won't be there. And we will be like the angels of God in heaven. Do we believe that? Jesus Christ said it. And then he says, continues on, and he says, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." This is the God that we serve. He is the God of the living. He created life. He breathed into man life. Did they not know that? How could the Sadducees, who studied the scriptures all their lives, not know that God had breathed in life into Adam and gives life to every mankind, to all mankind, to everyone? And so they regarded Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as immortal. Jesus tells them, he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. And then so again, they came to tempt him, but when they heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. The Pharisees marveled when he told them to render unto Caesar what's Caesar's and unto God what's God's. The Sadducees here were astonished at the teaching of Jesus Christ, that God is a God of the living, not of the dead. He has a relationship with those who are alive. And so we have to remember that as these Pharisees first come to him, the Sadducees come to him, and now the Pharisees are coming to him, we need to remember that we, as God's children, should have a distinct difference between us and those of the world. The Bible tells us to avoid foolish questions. The Sadducees came up with some foolish questions. The Pharisees came to tempt him with some foolish questions. But we are told, avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. Should the child of God argue, be contentious, and strivings about the law? For they are unprofitable and vain. Our time is not well spent being with each other and having contentions about the law. It's unprofitable. It's vain. We are to give our hearts to the Lord. We are to live with him. Our righteousness ought to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees so that we can be a part of the kingdom of God. Not to be contending. The Bible also says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. We are not to strive. And this morning we read in James there, chapter 5, grudge not one against another, lest ye be condemned. The judge stands at the door. Can a child of God have a grudge or animosity toward another? The Pharisees here did. The Sadducees here did. But the child of God does not. So when the multitude heard this of what Jesus Christ said about who God is, the God of the living, that they were astonished at his doctrine. And it says that when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Now again, they come together. The Pharisees first came to Jesus. Jesus confounded them. They left. The Sadducees on the same day come to Jesus, put forth a question to him. They are astonished and they marvel at his doctrine. And now the Pharisees are gathering themselves together, and now they come to Jesus Christ again to tempt him. And this time it's a lawyer of the Pharisees, and he questions him, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Again, strivings about the law. They're unprofitable. They're vain. There's no value in them. Can now these Jews be one greater than the other? Well, because, well, I can articulate what that law means better than you, and so I'm greater than you. That's unprofitable. It's vain. We need to give unto the Lord our hearts. That's what the Lord is looking for, not how well you can articulate the law or how you understand the law to be. They missed it. Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they rejected the cornerstone. They rejected Jesus Christ. And so the kingdom was taken away from them and given unto a nation bringing the fruits thereof. So which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus says unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is what you are to do. Jesus Christ is saying, if you take the Old Testament and you boil it down to two laws, these would be the greatest of the two laws. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And in, I believe it's Luke's gospel or Mark's gospel, it says, and your strength as well. So if we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, is there any room left for the love of the world? There's no more room left in our lives to love anything of this world. If we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, he will be our all to us. Our all in all to us. Nothing, everything else will pale in comparison. A distant second. This is the first and the great commandment. Love God with everything. Why? He gives us life. Why? Because he loves us so much. We love him because he first loved us. These are truths in God's words that we need to come with awe toward and a faith that to believe that this is true. And Jesus Christ continues here saying, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. All that's written there in the Levitical law and other places as well, it all can be boiled down. The whole Bible can be boiled down to these two commandments. Love God with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. This will place us to be sons and daughters of the Lord. This will place us to be in his family, in God's great family. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Love your neighbor as yourself. What you want someone to do to you, do it to them. Do it to them. If you have something that's really joyful in your life and you want others to rejoice with you, well, rejoice with them when they're rejoicing. And likewise, when someone's going through something very difficult. If I'm going through something difficult and I want others to come with me in my sorrow, I need to come with them in their sorrow as well. This is loving our neighbor as ourselves. This is doing unto others as we would have them do unto us. It's been said that if you want to have joy in your life, think of joy as an acronym. Serve Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. This is how you will have joy in your life. And this is what the Bible here is saying. Love God with everything. Give your whole heart to Jesus Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. So they were done asking him questions, but yet while they were together, now Jesus is going to ask them a question. He asked the Pharisees, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they knew the answer because they studied the scriptures their whole life, but they didn't do it with an awe and a faith toward the author of the book. So they have the answers, but their heart was in the wrong place. And again, that's why there needs to be a distinct difference between a child of God and one who is not a child of God. They say unto him, the son of David. So he saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus is presenting to them, how is it that David can say that the Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? How is it that God would say to his Lord, being Jesus Christ, Sit thou on my right hand? How could he then be his son? And so no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. From that time, the contentions stopped, at least for a while. The Sadducees come to him, the Pharisees come to him, and they're striving about the law, but their heart was in the wrong place. They didn't love God with everything. But we have this blessing that we have the entire Word of God. We have what the words of Jesus Christ, and we know what he wants of us. We know that he wants us to love him, love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when we do that, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. Otherwise, we will be as the scribes and the Pharisees. There will be no difference between us and the scribes and the Pharisees. If we only love those who love us, what do we more than others? Jesus Christ says. The Pharisees did that. But we are called to love our neighbor, all. Our lives will be blessed as we do this. So we examine the scripture of a time when there was this strife, there was this contention, there was this desire to lay a snare before Jesus Christ, even as it was also when the woman that was caught in adultery was brought before Jesus, and they say, well, Moses, our lead guy, says that such a one should be stoned. But what are you going to say? Are you greater than Moses? What are you going to say in this? She's caught in the act. There's no debating that. What do you say? They came again with contention. That's not the way of a child of God. We are blessed. The greatest blessing that we can have in our lives is to be a child of God, to be a part of the family of God. There's no greater blessing. We can be in the part of the family of God when we believe in him, when we take Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and accept him, not reject him, and when we walk in his ways. We will be blessed in our lives. We will be a part of the family of God. We can cry out unto him as we do pray and say, Abba, Father. And he's not ashamed to call us his sons and his daughters. This evening hour, if I understand correctly, the children will sing a song, You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. A fine family. Not only a family in the earthly sense, where we have parents who taught us the way of the Lord, but a family in the sense of a heavenly family, where we are sons and daughters of the living God. And we behave that way in our hearts each and every day. They didn't want to believe him. Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. There were a few that received him, and it was a beautiful thing. Think of the man that was born blind, and how he was cast out of the synagogue after all the debates there. And Jesus of Christ appears to him, and Jesus says to this man that was born blind, but that now has his sight, says, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And the man responds, Who is he that I might believe on him? Jesus Christ responds, I that speaketh with thee am he. And it says that he worshiped him. The blind man, the man that was born blind but now sees, he worshiped him. We need to look to the scriptures with awe and with faith and believe in him, and we worship him in spirit and truth. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
The brother began the message with words of appreciation for the prayers that we utter together. And I really appreciate this song that we sang together. It asks a very important question that each of us should take with us. What could be lovelier ever? What could more peace afford than hallowing forever our lives unto our Lord? Jesus' enemies asked questions, and maybe they wished that they could go home with a little bit more change in their pocket, and that would make them feel better. Or if they would know the mysteries of heaven and eternity and how everything would be figured out. Or if they knew the greatest law and they could say, I'm better than somebody else. And then they would feel pretty good. But they didn't see God. And they didn't know who they were standing in front of. What else can we seek for? What else can we long for? Jesus took all of their questions on the extremities of their concerns and brought them back to the center of faith and love. What could be lovelier ever? What could more peace afford than hallowing forever our lives unto our Lord? May the words of Jesus Christ center us upon his will for our lives. And may we hallow, may we dedicate, may we completely be committed without any divided allegiance to our Lord and Savior from our hearts, as we were reminded this afternoon. For Jesus has said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we pray every time we gather that hearts would come to the cross to be purified in Christ Jesus' precious blood, that souls would be spared from death and that they would see God. And Jesus' clear word has rung out again. Hear, believe, and receive life through his name. For it is only through the name of Jesus Christ that salvation is offered. May God bless his word. Amen.